Hey, good afternoon. I realize I stand between you and a break, so hopefully I'll make it quite interesting for you. So I'm actually standing in for our EIS officer, Sarah Ray, who started her preventive medicine fellowship this week, so she's not able to be here. So I'm going to talk today about our experience with Legionnaires' disease in North Carolina in 2014. So between June and October of 2014, we were notified of 5 outbreaks of Legionnaires' disease in different long-term care facilities. So what I'm going to do here is actually what we did was review all of these Legionnaires' disease outbreaks to assess Legionella remediation strategies and also to look at the time from outbreak identification to Legionella eradication. So I'm just going to provide a little bit of a brief overview of Legionella. I know we've talked quite a bit about other diseases here in the session, so Legionnaires' disease will be a little new for you. So Legionnaires' disease can produce severe multisystem disease characterized by pneumonia. It is a notifiable condition in the United States with risk factors age greater than 50 years and also affects those with compromised immune systems. And the incubation period onset is typically 2 to 10 days after exposure to Legionella bacteria. So the Legionella bacteria is a gram-negative organism, typically found in freshwater environments, and can be amplified in certain situations, especially in man-made water systems. And this can include water temperatures of 77 to 108 degrees Fahrenheit, and also areas of stagnation, and that can actually lead to the presence of scale, sediment, and biofilm. And thankfully, biofilm was actually just described in the previous presentation, so keep that in mind. The disease occurs actually via exposure via inhalation of aerosolized water. So approximately 80% of reported cases of a Legionnaires' disease are caused by Legionella pneumophila serogroup 1 or LP1. So, and this is actually typically diagnosed by a Legionella urinary antigen test or a UAT. It's the most common confirmatory diagnostic test, but again, the UAT only detects LP1. And actually, LP1 cultured out from a UAT about 6 months after actually diagnosis and treatment for Legionnaires' disease. So about 11% of all reported Legionnaires' disease cases are healthcare associated, and healthcare facilities typically have very large, complex water systems, they can be older buildings, newer buildings, just a lot of various issues associated with different healthcare facilities, and you also have a very vulnerable population, which puts them at increased risk of infection. So what we did here was review our 5 Legionnaires' disease outbreaks. Wanted to make sure that we had a consistent case definition and also look at the environmental assessments that were conducted. And each of our facilities did actually conduct bulk water and swab collection for Legionella culture. And they actually did this for the 6 months after the first negative water sample was obtained. And we summarized the assessment and also the remediation efforts for these facilities, and then also evaluated the Legionella culture results. So the case definition for these outbreaks was greater than or equal to 2 persons with a radiographically confirmed pneumonia and also positive Legionella urinary antigen test during a 6-month period long-term care facility. So surveillance for Legionnaires' disease cases, I know I'm speaking to a lot of epidemiologists, and so we all understand what prospective and retrospective surveillance is. But specifically for Legionnaires' disease, looking forward, what we do is look for patients who develop a pneumonia, either radiographic or clinically confirmed, and then ask to conduct, if a patient is identified, ask to conduct a Legionella urinary antigen test on those patients, and possibly a respiratory specimen also for culture in the event that we can actually obtain an isolate and possibly match it to an environmental sample result. And then retrospective is also requested, and what we do is ask the facility to take a look back. For patients diagnosed with pneumonia, again, radiographic or clinically confirmed, and also ask them to conduct a Legionella urinary antigen test on those individuals. Again, 6 months, because we can detect it in urine 6 months after the fact. So this is our graph. So we actually had, in those five outbreaks, we had 23 cases. And each of the different colors on this epi curve actually demonstrates a different long-term care facility. And so I just have this circled. So we were actually notified very late in the game. I said, again, June to October of 2014. But when we conducted retrospective review, we actually identified several cases. The earliest onset was December 6th of 2013. So some of our characteristics of our cases here, again, we had 23. 20 of them were residents of long-term care facilities. And we did actually have two visitors and one contractor. And I know in previous conversations this week that that has been a hot topic of discussion about whether you include visitors and other persons to a healthcare facility in the case definition. So, but for the context of our outbreaks, we did include those individuals. And I'm happy to answer any questions about that as well. These individuals, all of them had at least one comorbidity. Most of them had two. The median age was 78. Most of them were female. 17 were hospitalized. 17, and we did actually have one death associated with this outbreak or these outbreaks. So environmental assessments were conducted at each of the long-term care facilities. They all had issues leading to the development of Legionella. A lot of them had hot water heater ranges that were not appropriate. You should actually have a hot water tank at 140 degrees or higher. The median for us was 133. We did have one facility with cooling towers on site, and then we also had other facilities with areas leading to potential for water stagnation, and that included unoccupied wings of facilities, and one facility in particular did have an unoccupied wing, and they actually did not have standard or routine protocol in place to actually go through and flush the system. And then we also had dead legs in the plumbing. And all of them lacked a routine water system maintenance plan and a Legionella prevention plan. So control measures that we recommended for all these facilities were to restrict tap water use, install the 0.2 micron point of use filters, which again have been previously described in this session, at which point they could actually lift the tap water restriction, and then also conduct some primary remediation of the water system, so superheating and hyperchlorination, and I'll describe that in a moment. And also encourage them to maintain the hot water heater temperatures at greater than or equal to 140 degrees Fahrenheit. To consult with an engineer who could come in and assist them evaluate their water system, and also to help them implement a water system maintenance plan and a Legionella prevention plan as well. And also to continue surveillance for cases. So environmental sample collection, we did, again, collect samples at each of these facilities. They included bulk water and swab samples in resident rooms, common areas, and also hot water tanks. So environmental sample results. So we actually had Legionella that was isolated initially in the water from 4 out of 5 long-term care facilities. Eradication we did achieve after two long-term care facilities following primary remediation and engineering modification. But Legionella has persisted at two of these facilities, and I will get into that too. So remediation, as I discussed, so there are primary and secondary. Primary is superheating, which means that you raise the temperature of the hot water heater tanks to at least 160 for a couple of hours, and then you actually purge all of the water lines. And then hyperchlorination is increasing it's like a shock chlorination. If any of you have pools and you've had to shock your pools, then you understand what I'm talking about. But again, you raise that, you raise it to a high level so that it has a consistent, I think it's two mils per liter. at each of the points of use, and then you flush it through. But you don't want to have it sit longer than 2 hours, because again, that can be quite corrosive to certain water systems. And then secondary, it's long term, it's very costly. But installation of a system for continuous release of a disinfectant, and that's a copper silver ionization or chlorine fluorine dioxide. So this graph, I think, is the most interesting for everyone here. So I said, you know, again, we had 4 out of 5 facilities did actually, we had initial environmental sample results that were positive for Legionella. One facility we never did isolate or have a positive Legionella result from environmental samples, and that is Facility A. They did actually, we did recommend that they go ahead and conduct primary remediation. And then obviously, you know, 6 months later, if we conduct, we did recommend that the long-term care facilities conduct continued environmental sampling for 6 months after that first initial negative result. So so water restrictions and everything else, Legionella eradication occurred kind of at the end of that black line or blue line that you see on the screen. So so then Facility A conducted superheating one time, and then after that they actually had negative results. So that was about 4 weeks. So Facility B, from time from outbreak identification to negative result, was about 4 weeks. The Facility C conducted superheating and hyperchlorination twice. So we actually had 2 rounds of primary remediation in Facility C, and the first negative result occurred 13 weeks. And Facility C. And then Facility D and E. We have yet to actually obtain any negative results from those facilities. So, and they were actually identified fairly early. These, I think, were 2 of our first facilities back in June of last year. So we're in June again. So it's been going on for a year. Facility D actually did institute superheating one time, and then Facility E has conducted superheating and hyperchlorination, and has also instituted some thermal mixing valves as well. So in conclusion, Legionnaires' disease outbreaks were identified at 5 long-term care facilities. Primary remediation was achieved, did achieve eradication at 2 long-term care facilities, occurring at 4 and 13 weeks respectively, but low-level Legionella contamination persists at 2 long-term care facilities despite primary remediation. Control measures do remain in place at those facilities, and we are recommending continued consultation with an engineer and also conduct surveillance for new cases. So a lot of discussion, I think, in public health implications here. So again, low-level contamination may continue to persist despite primary remediation. The control measures and the remediation efforts are costly, obviously very time-consuming. And complete eradication may require protracted remediation strategies. Long-term care facilities should institute Legionella prevention plans, which means they should understand their water system, and they need to conduct routine maintenance of their water system. In addition, they need to maintain a high level, high index of suspicion for Legionnaires' disease, particularly in their vulnerable populations. And then in North Carolina, we've actually developed and implemented a Legionella prevention, remediation, and response toolkit for long-term care facilities. So that is actually available on our website. I'll just put a plug in for it, so you all can actually go and access that as well. And we are working with our regulatory agency to also assist us with the rollout and implementation of that. So I'd like to acknowledge colleagues here. Thanks.
While we're waiting for questions, I have a quick question. What do you do when you just have one HAI confirmed case? Do you wait for a second case before you do any action?
Yeah, so in North Carolina, we actually do wait for another case. I mean, of course, we do go ahead and recommend that we actually conduct surveillance. So, but
do you reach out to the facility, or do you just look for that other case?
We reach out to the facility, yeah, and conduct surveillance, but we don't necessarily conduct an environmental assessment at that point. Okay. Hi, there's a queue this time. Okay.
Okay. So I've got actually a couple questions, but one just a clarification.
Okay.
In the beginning of your slides, you had some statistics like that 80% your cases are Legionella pneumophila, group 1, and 11% are healthcare associated. Were those specific to North Carolina?
No, no, those were in the U.S.
Okay. Right. And then another question is, I guess it's two questions. How often were those facilities testing their water after, environmental samples of the water to see if the Legionella persisted in the water?
So we actually follow the guidelines that are available, and also in discussion with our CDC colleagues over there in the back. We conducted every 2 weeks for 3 months. So once we had the initial negative result, every 2 weeks for 3 months, and then every 4 weeks for 3 months after that. So that would be a 6-month time frame.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then my other question is, did any of these facilities do what you call a secondary radiation?
Good question. I'm glad you asked that. So actually, I don't have a slide to show this, but I can go back. So Facility D, as you can see, they actually did implement a secondary remediation back at month. If you look at the bottom, it looks like it's month 4, and we still do not have any negative results from that facility.
Well, thank you very much. I'm Vivian Atkins from Washington State, and I was wondering your thoughts on why you have these 5 facilities clustered in time. You generally have a lot of long-term care facility outbreaks, and this is unusual. And then second of all, if you have any thoughts about encouraging providers to do the culture, that's an issue we run into in Washington State, where if you have severe antigen, you're only picking up, obviously, the Haemophila. So I have concerns about whether that really is 80%, or that's just something testing
for, and then how to encourage, especially when you're looking at facility outbreaks, when you're able to pinpoint
environmental specimens to a patient, which you can't do with it. So if anyone has any thoughts on that, if you've
had
any issue with that, encourage.
Yeah, okay, so cultures, and then what was your first question again?
If you usually have so many
clusters. Okay, yeah. So this was a banner year. Prior to this, I think the last healthcare facility outbreak, Legionnaire's disease outbreak, occurred in 2004. So it was 10 years prior. We only had one that year. And so to have 5 in 1 year, yes, it was a very active year for us. But it's also my understanding that Legionella in general across the country there was a higher incidence last year. So, you know, we looked and we attempted to also speak with our environmental health folks and our climate folks as well, and see if there was, you know, any possible correlation, and we really didn't see anything, you know, kind of the rainfall and things of that nature. I think it was just a bad year, and I'm not exactly sure why. So as far as culture, we did request that we obtain respiratory specimens for culture on the individuals that we could. We did actually obtain a few, but we had some challenges in North Carolina as far as the laboratory was concerned, so we were not able to culture Legionella from the specimens that we obtained. But I think, you know, that's definitely a conversation that we should have. You know, should we encourage continued, should we ask for respiratory specimens when we have UATs that are positive? And, you know, again, it only captures a certain percentage.
I'm Mark Cottenhall from Wisconsin. This is just a quick comment regarding the climate. There is a study going on in the state of New York. A lot of our states, including Wisconsin, have major increases over the last few years, like fourfold. They're coming up with some really interesting results, but they won't share them yet. But my question is number one, and it's why I came up. Like, when you say long-term care, we're talking strictly nursing homes here. You're not talking assisted living or any other part of continuum of care.
Yes, that's correct. These are long-term care facilities.
Okay. Yeah, long-term care, I mean, in my view, is also assisted living, community-based residential
office. Exactly, yeah. They're different variations. So these are strictly long-term care facilities. We had residents.
For the most part, these 5?
Were they what? I'm sorry?
The older buildings, like, built,
you know,
many, many years ago.
There was actually a mix. So I think Sam was shaking her head. there was also one newer building as well, which I would say a newer building was like 20 or 30 years old. So, you know, but yes, there were some older older building.
Right. And one last question I wanted to make clarification. You said you wanted them to continue to or maintain 130-degree water
140.
Temperature. And that's pre-mixing valve, correct? Not at the valve, not at the east valve?
Exactly. It's 140
okay. I was sure
water heater. Yes.
Yeah, at the water heater.
At the water heater.
I know that
correct.
Being a next regulator, if it's
yes.
130 degrees,
yes.
they're going to be in
line. Well, exactly. That's right. That's right. Yeah, it can't be that at the tap because we'd have
absolutely.
a scalding
absolutely.
Problem.
Very nice study. So.
Yeah. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Before you guys leave, I want to thank the speakers, and I want to give two plugs. New Jersey, one of our fellows, did a study on weather and our Legionella cases, and she's presenting that this evening at 5, so if you want to check that out. We also noticed there's another session that's actually very similar to this one on Wednesday at 2. It's also got several Legionella and nosocomial investigations, and it's called Water Woes, so we invite you to check that out as well. So.
If you haven't gotten your fill of waterborne infectious disease, come back tomorrow. Another hand for all the speakers. Thank you.